pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we start tonight's meeting, and you'll notice we have an empty chair up here. Many of you know, but this weekend our trustee Ray Kopisch passed away unexpectedly. Ray has served the village of Alloway from 2004 to 2014 and was re-elected this past April to serve. He's part of the Alloway Business Association. He's been part of the chamber for many years. And he's given an awful lot to this community. So, out of respect, I'd like to have a 30-second moment of silence in Ray's memory. Thank you. Ray's funeral is going to be this Friday at Resurrection. Visitation is Friday morning from 9 until 11 a.m. And the Mass of Christian Burial will be at 11 a.m. With Bishop Robert Murnau at Resurrection here in Alloway. His family, and this will kind of represent the way Ray and his family lives their lives. In lieu of flowers, they ask that we please do something special with your family, have dinner together, go camping, or take that vacation you've been putting off, because that would make Ray very happy. So his family are in our thoughts and prayers. We will call the meeting to order. Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
All present. I have a motion to modify or adopt this evening's agenda. Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
I'll second it. Seconded by Trustee Genrich. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Announcements. If you were in the area this past Thursday, you will have noticed that we've kicked off this year's Alloway and Bellin Health Farmers Market. It's here in the parking lot next door, Thursdays from June 15th until October 5th, from 3:30 until 6:30. It is a great time. We have some great vendors this year. And they are looking forward to meeting all of our smiling faces. So come enjoy the community. We have food trucks, food vendors, vegetable vendors, craft vendors. Do we have any beer vendors? Just kidding.
Not yet.
Not yet. let's see. The 4th of July, as we mentioned at our last village board meeting, it will not be a night of entertainment. I'm sorry, Judy. But July 4th, we will not have our village board meeting. Our next village board meeting will be on July 18th. On June 24th and 25th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Heritage Hill, there is a Civil War reenactment. They are going to be reenacting some of the Civil War's lesser-known battles to give recognition to them. There will be two battles on Saturday and one on Sunday with a possible small skirmish skirmish on Sunday, leading to an afternoon battle. So, if you'd like to learn and celebrate the Civil War, go on down to Heritage Hill.
And there's also a Friday evening social. I think there's a minimal $5 charge, and you can spend a little time with President Lincoln, who will be there answering questions and discussing his generals and some of their lacking skills that he's trying to improve on.
So will very cool. And then also at Heritage Hill on Monday, there is Music on the Green, which is a free concert for all. It's at 6 p.m. And this coming on the June 26th, it's going to have Monroe Crossing as the band, which is in honor of Bill Monroe, the father of bluegrass music. So you have some classical bluegrass, bluegrass gospel, and heartfelt originals, and the camaraderie of your fellow citizens.
And I think the park has tweaked things up a little bit. They called it Moving On Up. The music is now up on the patio behind the main building. And there will be reserved seating for those that want to spend $25 for either a table on the balcony or a picnic table with a tent over the top. And last Monday, with the rain, those people looked like the smart ones. Everything else is free. There will be food trucks there to purchase food as well. So it'll be a good evening, and people are encouraged to come.
Thank you. Do I have any other announcements from the board? Trustee Harris.
I just wanted to make a comment. I've seen some of the wayfinding signs put up in the village. I've gotten a couple of good responses from people who have noticed them, but just personally, I think they look very good. Hats off to the Planning Commission for putting everything together, and that's the comment I wanted to make.
Great, thank you. Any other announcements from the board? Any announcements from staff? Hearing none, we will move on to public appearances. Is there anyone in the audience this evening who would like to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda? Judy.
Judy Pope, 2375 Riverside Drive. I would like to second what Mr. Harris said. I've been noticing the signs, and I think they're very tastefully done. And I like them much better than some of the other presentations that we have made. The only thing that I have a question about tonight is on the April 18th meeting, I had asked on behalf of a friend about the problem that some of the folks are having making a turn onto Webster Avenue, and that's right next to the, it's Garland Street, I think it is. And I was wondering if you had heard anything from anybody at the establishment at the Quick Mart or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You did?
Well, no, Quick Trip. Did we hear?
Have we heard anything from them folks?
Not a word? Okay, well, she's been asking, so I thought I would inquire. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Could we make a note to follow up on that, guys? Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. O'Rourke.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Bike Ped Committee on pedestrian issues. again, at the Public Works Committee, it was mentioned that there's going to be an extra $70,000 to $80,000 in surplus funds that are not going to be needed from the stadium tax. And I'd like to see that put into economic development for a commercial sidewalk along Riverside Drive at St. Joseph Street, and then also in front of the new apartment complex on West St. Joseph. That apartment complex should have had a sidewalk in it when it was planned, because it's a planned development district, and that's required by law to have pedestrian facilities. So I'd like to see the extra stadium money that we're not going to be needing, because the state has extra money in their highway fund to use at the Sunset Park crossing, and I'd like to put that down on the sidewalk down by the Riverside and West St. Joseph and Elway Avenue, so people can actually get across and get down to the trail. Thanks.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak on something that's not on this evening's agenda? Hearing none, we will move on to item number 5 under Old Business, action regarding restrictive covenant for Elway Waterworks Building located at 535 Green Avenue. As you know, we've been trying or planning to sell that property for a while, and we learned that because it's a historic property, there had to be restrictive covenants in, put in place. Staff then spent time with the Historical Society of Wisconsin to better learn what the restrictions were. They have then now gone back and put together recommendations for those restrictions. And we are being asked tonight to discuss those and make recommendations on what we should include and what we should not include in the restrictive covenant. That's a summary. Would anyone from staff like to...
Sure, this was supposed to be supposed to go to the Historic Preservation Committee prior to the board seeing it. However, because of the weather last week, we had to cancel our meeting, and it will be rescheduled for, I believe, sometime next week. However, having said that, I would like the Historic Preservation's input, but also the board's input. So this will likely be not be the final time you will see this. This will likely come back to you in July in final form.
So in terms of any restrictions, we could put all kinds of regulations on it or restrictions on it, or we can be as lax as we want in terms of the internal structure, external structure.
That's correct. And there's some exclusions that are spelled out on the bottom of the first page, items 1 through 4. And speaking with our attorney, this was a draft easement that the State Historic Preservation Office gave us. So
Trevor, could you... Yeah, thank you.
Sorry. This is a draft agreement. So we could essentially change that from exclusions to reverse it the opposite way, what we want to see preserved, which might make more sense, might be clearer down the road. So, for example, the front facade, I know, has been mentioned several times, but there might be something else that the board wants to discuss as well.
So they're all hypotheticals at this point.
Correct.
Yeah. I would think it'd be fair to say that the front facade is about all that's of historical value going forward. At least I've not heard any strong arguments for anything else. Some of the other preservation kind of things would make it more difficult to sell and or difficult to use. Whereas if we gave people kind of a blank slate other than the front facade, it should be a win-win. You know, some of the slabs and the berms and the tanks and all that, I mean, I don't think there's much historic value there. So maybe we go in that direction.
Tell you what, before we discuss it further, I could accept a motion on that.
I would move that we place a restrictive covenant or whatever on the front facade so that it's maintained and or improved to its somewhat original condition and or look, and leave it at that.
Okay. I have a motion. Second?
Second.
Okay, second by Trustee Green. Any discussion? Trustee Green.
Well, I've got a number 10 here. Number 10, the owner agrees that the village may, at its discretion, without prior notice to the owner, convey and assign all or part of the village's rights and responsibilities contained herein to a third party. That would keep me away right there if I was buying it. So what does that mean? Why did the State Historical Society put that in there? And it just seems like that's way one-sided, so I don't know if you want to bounce that off Attorney Gast. But my question is, what does that mean? And if it's planning for the future, looking at a change in municipality. I'm just not sure what they mean right there.
Sure.
Good point.
Yeah, I mean, if you, yeah.
What does this mean?
So.
It might be referring to, like, giving that easement to possibly the State Historic Preservation Office down the road. That's what I would interpret it as, but I'll
I don't know. If I'm looking at it as somebody buying it, I want that tightened up a little bit, that it just can't go to Joe Blow.
Sure.
So, for what it's worth.
Thank you. Any other discussions? Okay. Trevor?
So, just further clarify, it says in the memo, but maybe for the audience, any changes to what is included as, or what is identified in this easement, would have to go through the village through our certificate of appropriateness process, which is something that's approved by the Historic Preservation Committee, and then it could possibly be appealed by the village board.
Thank you. So we have a motion on the to basically allow for or require preservation of the historical facade and the, I'm assuming, windows, all of that.
Right. Basically the front of the building.
So that is to the extent that the village wants to protect the historical significance of that building. And...
However, historical preservation may have a different idea that comes back to
it.
So, yeah.
So our motion is to add this wording to the draft document, if I'm understanding the motion correctly.
Yep. So we'll do that, send it back to historic preservation, let it come back. Work? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. We're getting there.
So the motion was to add the wording to the draft document and send back to historic preservation.
Correct. Agenda item number 6, discussion on assembly or discussion action on Assembly Bill 292, closing of the Green Bay Correctional Institution. And papers in order here. It's basically an update, as many of you know. The village board approved sending a letter to our state legislators in support of Bill AB, Assembly Bill 292, presented by Representative David Steffen, which recommends closing Green Bay Correctional Institution, contracting with a private vendor to build another facility either in Brown County or in a neighboring county to then sell the property, lease the property back while that new prison is being constructed, and then allow the private party to own the new prison and leasing, have the state lease that property back for a period of time with the option to buy. That he presented that proposal because Green Bay Correctional Institute is 119 years old in desperate need of upgrades. They are currently, or in 2009, it was identified that they need $140 million in upgrades, which in today's dollars and a couple of years forward equates to about $200 million. There is, in 2009, when a study was done, there was zero appetite in Madison to bond for or borrow for a new prison. And today I would guess that is, well, I know that's very true. There's no interest in bonding or borrowing to build a new prison. And so David Steffen, realizing that we have a real problem in terms of safety, as many of you have heard when coming to village board meetings, safety of not only the inmates, but really our staff that work there, our ability or inability to get people to work there because of those issues. We have a real problem. And So he came up with what I thought to be a very creative solution to the problem. Let's lease with the option to buy. That saves $22 million out of next year's budget. Saves the state over the next 10 years $150 million. I think that's a pretty responsible thing to do. And so this bill has gotten support from a lot of people locally. On May 16th, during the village board meeting, Brad, myself, and Trevor went down to Madison and spoke to the corrections committee and to ask them for their support. Troy Streckenbach went down that day to Madison, and our hearing was delayed about 6 hours, so he couldn't stay, but he lodged his support for it publicly. Jim Schmidt has supported it publicly. John Mako, some of our local legislators. The biggest concern I had about the success of this program was you have to build a new prison somewhere, and I was afraid of people saying, not in my backyard. You know, people don't want prisons. Well, this prison is going to be privately owned. It will therefore generate tax revenue to the tune of somewhere between $1 and $4 million a year. And it's amazing that when you talk about tax dollars being available, how many people are interested in the property. Officially, the town of Luxembourg, Algoma, have said they want to be considered for that to be a site for a new prison. Denmark said they want to be considered for the prison. Kewaunee County and the town of Lawrence. And I think Sean was discussing it. Patrick Evans, supervisor in Brown County, has said that he wants the prison to be in Brown County. So there are people who want this facility. And so that argument kind of goes out the window. It's going to go to the Joint Finance Committee down in Madison, which is made up of Senate Republicans and Democrats, Assembly Republicans and Democrats. The majority of the Assembly people on the Joint Finance Committee are in favor of the proposal. Two of the senators, including Frank Lassay, who is a co-sponsor of the bill, are in favor of it publicly. The challenge that we are facing is that our own Senator Rob Coles has not come out in support of this proposal. In talking to him earlier, he told me that if it made financial sense, that he would support it. He said, absolutely, if it made financial sense. He said he preferred a study be done. The answer to that is a study was done in 2009, and we know that there's a huge amount of work to do. He wants a further study done. Well, another study isn't going to tell us anything. So with David Steffen, knowing that, was an objection. David Steffen added something to the bill that said, he calls it a circuit breaker. I would call it a kill switch. But when the state sends out RFPs for a new development, for a new prison to be built, if the state determines that it does not make financial sense, the deal's dead. And we go back to square one. Why did he do that? Because some people want us to go out and get estimates from builders, from developers. What developer is going to give you an honest number if you go up and say, I need an estimate, but we're not going to do anything? This is going to go out to bid. We'll know what the real numbers for building are. And Senator Coles knows this. I've asked Senator Coles to speak to me about this. I invited him to tonight's meeting. I spoke to his chief of staff today, and he goes, Jim, you know, Rob's attitude hasn't changed on this. He's not opposed to it, but he's not going to support it. So it doesn't look good from my perspective. And so I ask anyone and everyone to encourage your neighbors, if you believe in this proposal. By the way, it's going to generate somewhere between a minimum of $600,000 to taxpayers in Alloway on an annual basis. That's a lot of money. We had a windfall last year of $750,000. People said it was once in a lifetime. This could create a whole lot more. people who have lived in Alloway for a very long time have asked me, do you think it's really going to work? Do you think we can really do it? Well, my answer to that is, let your state senator know we want it done, and we want him to support us. Any other comments from board members? I just wanted to give the update. Hopefully it's to go to the joint finance next week. So I ask for your support. Moving on. Is there a...
Move to suspend.
Move to suspend. Trustee Genrich, seconded by Trustee Dart. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Come on up, Jim.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. My biggest fear is that we're going to run into the same problem with the prison that we're running into with the pump house. Pump house has been for sale for 9 years and still haven't sold it. Still trying to figure out whether you want to allow somebody to do what needs to be done to that property. The State Historic Preservation Office was through the property a couple weeks ago, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? They should be able to tell a developer what has to stay and what can be taken down. It's my understanding that the Historic Preservation Office has said that that wall is a historically significant wall and should stay, with maybe the exception of some holes in it to let cars in, and that's a horrible solution. You have about 15 acres worth of buildings in there. The rest is open space. That wall is going to need to come down. Otherwise, no developer is going to have access to the best land there. So I agree with Senator Coles, is that we should have at least some answers with what you're going to be telling a developer they can do with it. As it stands right now, if you have to leave everything in place, you're going to get 20 cents on the dollar for it. If you have to leave the very best buildings and get rid of, you know, most of the wall and get rid of the buildings that don't have much value, then that property has some real value. But if you have to keep everything and declare it all historic, you're going to get 20 cents on the dollar, and you're not going to get your $600,000 a year in tax base. Thanks.
Thank you. Senator Coles didn't say that we should tell developers what they're getting in terms of historic structure. He's commenting only on the finances. Okay. Go ahead.
Move to take up.
Judy, come on up.
.2375 Riverside Drive, Judy Pohn. This is way out of my league to understand about what you've just been discussing on it, but I'm curious, can this facility be condemned because it is so antiquated and because it presents problems for people not wanting to work there because of safety conditions, etc.? Is there anything, any kind of wiggle room in there that could possibly mean that something would have to be done?
I would think not. But Brad and company did, and I was part of the meeting, met with State Historic Preservation Office. First of all, the opportunity for development on that land as a historic structure are great. And they are because there are companies, and I think we've talked about this before, but there are companies that actually go in and restore historic properties, including prisons, and create entire communities around them, incorporating the historical significance. When I say the structures are not safe, I don't mean that they're going to fall down.
No.
I mean they're not safe by the way they're designed as a maximum security prison. They're not designed in such a way that really allows for safety at work.
Well, that's what I meant. I mean, yeah. as far as its use being continued as...
Oh, as a prison.
As a prison. Yeah. I'm not talking about afterward. But
it's a very interesting thought.
One that possible?
I think we could ask. Thank you. But, Brad, do you remember the name of the development in Virginia?
Laurel somebody.
Laurel Hill?
Yeah.
Look it up. There are some very neat developments and from historic structures. I could envision that whole front building staying and having it completely be repurposed, but making it very cool. There's actually an ex-prison in Rome, I think it is, or somewhere in Italy, and the cells are private dining rooms. You know, so it's a restaurant made out of prison. So there are some very cool things that can be done that get developers very excited. In terms of the wall, I thought, get rid of the wall. But if it stays, you know, we're building walls as sound barriers around along highways today. You've got a sound barrier. But I just look forward. I look forward to the opportunity to have that discussion with developers. And the only way we're going to do that is if we can get support from our legislators.
Yeah, but I'm thinking in terms of if it's not safe for the community, if it's not safe for the people who are being housed there, mm-hmm. and for the people who are working, then is there such a thing as condemnation for that use as a maximum security or whatever security?
It's a very interesting question. Well, then we can look into. You don't know the answer until you ask the question, right?
That's true.
Thank you for asking that question. I'll have a motion to pick up the rules. Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Genrich. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye opposed. Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 7, action regarding Riverdale Neighborhood Association request to allow Zambaldi Brewery to have a beer tasting event at their July 8th, 2017 neighborhood picnic at Optimus Park. Who wants to talk about that? Well, I'll tell you what. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Trustee Atwood. Discussion. Trustee Green.
The Riverdale neighborhood encompasses Beaupre Street and all the way up through the General Streets, and it's everybody except for Webster Heights that's surrounding where Zimbaldi's going to go. So it would be a perfect place to introduce Zimbaldi beer to the neighborhood and for people to be able to have an informal discussion, tasting if they can about them going in. So we thought it would be a great opportunity to get everybody together because we are one neighborhood.
Okay. And this has come to the board because currently we do not allow alcohol in our parks.
And this would be no other alcohol. This would just be them.
Okay. And they would not sell
sampling.
It.
No.
It would be sampling and some kind of protections need to be in place or ticketing or anything like that. We just would allow it.
Is it closed to the public? Or do we have someone that's going to get a license?
It's the Riverdale Association only, so I take it that's closed to the public. I mean, it is the neighborhood.
If it is not closed to the public, they need a license. That's
closed
my understanding.
To the public.
So either move to the neighborhood or...
yeah, or...
But it is. It's part of the association.
It is.
Okay. And we have...
Just invited guests then, basically.
Yes.
And we have made that waiver for other opportunities, such as the soccer, the kickball tournament over in Broadview Park or in the past for the young professionals group.
What process is followed? I know it's a tasting, so there aren't going to be full size beers necessarily distributed, but to looking at minors consuming and what things would happen at the kickball tournament that we could make sure we would potentially follow for this event.
I don't think the kickball tournament did bracelets or anything like that, did they?
I just want to make sure we're consistent with mm-hmm. administering that kind of, for lack of better words, protection.
What are the hours? Do we know that yet?
12 to 2.
Oh.
Very short, middle
PM.
Of the day. It's a lunch for everybody to get together.
Understood. Yeah.
We decided to do it as a lunch instead of a block party in the evening. And just to full disclosure, this is my street. It's part of the Riverdale neighborhood, so that's why I'm speaking to this. But very short closed, and it's lunchtime.
Understood. Okay.
And we do have a representative from Zimbaldi here.
Yeah.
Anyone would like to hear from him?
I'm just being overcautious, that's all.
Well, no, I'm glad, because this is a first for all of us as far as the Neighborhood Association goes. But as we welcome new businesses in,
it's well worth well worth doing.
Trustee Atwood, did you have something?
Nope.
Okay.
I like the idea.
So would you actually, in your motion, would you state what your motion is?
I would state that we allow Zimbaldi Beer to do a taste sampling and get to know the neighborhood at the Riverdale Neighborhood Association meeting on July 8th from noon till 2, which is a closed meeting to the Riverdale Neighborhood Association residents.
Well said. Are we still second there, Trustee Atwood?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, and Debbie, does that still meet, because you're our guru with regards to...
Technically, then, you're just allowing it to be served in the park, because you don't need to have a license because it's closed.
Okay.
Any discussion? We have a motion to allow Zimbaldi Beer to do a beer tasting at the neighborhood party. And a second.
At Optimus Park.
At Optimus Park. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 8, awarding a facade improvement grant for Riviera Bar and Grill at 2150 Riverside Drive. Trevor, fill us in.
All right, so... the Riviera Bar and Grill, located down on Riverside Drive, facing the river, sharing the Twigs building. They're looking at doing an expansion on their patio, concrete patio. They're ripping up some blacktop. And if you're familiar with the restaurant, it's the very, as you walk in, there's currently blacktop, and it's kind of wavy and sloped and everything. And so they're looking at making this more of a safe pedestrian entrance. And so then that kind of follows into the second item that they're looking at doing is installing large gutters. Currently in winter, they have a lot of ice built up. And so they're looking at doing the gutters to prevent any future or possible slipping. There's a few things in here in our facade improvement scope. It doesn't really spell out any of these two. It's kind of vague. So I told the applicant, full disclosure, that this may or may not fit within the criteria. And I was going to let the board make that determination. But also, they only were able to receive one estimate, and we typically require three. However, if any of you are familiar with the construction climate right now, it's very, very, very busy. And according to the petitioner for the applicant, she had said she reached out to 17 different concrete people, and only one gave up her an estimate. I reached out to a contractor I know and asked him about this, and his response was, she would be lucky if she received anyone to do the project by August at the earliest. Just because this is relatively a small project and many of the concrete workers are doing driveways and basements and that sort of thing. So they're not even going to waste their time bidding on a project they know they can't do. So I guess there's two things in here that I would like a little direction on the village or from the board. And the applicant does know that we are seeking direction, so it's not a for sure thing. So the first thing is, does the scope of the project fit within the criteria in the board's opinion? And the second, if the board's comfortable moving forward with just one estimate.
What's the size of the cutting?
900 square feet. So about 30 by 30.
And it does obviously improve the approach to the building, which is what the facade improvement program is at least partially about. So it would make some sense. And I certainly get the argument about difficulty getting bids, especially if you'd like to do it this summer yet, or before the season ends. Makes sense to me.
And will they have tables out there? And what else does anybody think of the facade?
They are looking to have some outdoor seating right there. They are also looking at having a little spot for people to, I don't want to say cage because it sounds maybe negative, but cage their dogs while they're at the restaurant or something. Coming off the trail, they're going to have water there for the dogs, and they can keep them in a little secure spot while they eat. Dogs currently are allowed on their patio now, but this would be something that they could go maybe inside or something like that.
The first thing under general requirements is features visible from public right of way. Would we consider this feature? It's in back of the building.
I was thinking the trail as the right of way.
And they do get business from the trail. And that is the only entrance. So even car traffic has to drive around the building and access at that point.
Mm-hmm. My concern is that it's falling, while I want to do what I can to help, I think this is falling too far outside of the guidelines that we've set up. I agree, gray area, but I think it's moving too far away is my initial reaction. It's not necessarily, it's an entrance improvement and a business expansion. That doesn't, in my opinion, necessarily fit within the tone of facade improvement. When we're looking at to change the appearance, we're going to be adding to capacity. The same thing with the gutters. And I don't know what the current size is, but switching from a 3 to a 4 or a 5-inch diameter gutter, that doesn't necessarily change the perception of the building from the outside. Again, it may help with drainage, but that's, I think, more of a business expense rather than something that improves it from the perspective of the neighborhood.
Also, this is the second time they've applied for a facade improvement grant.
That's correct.
And we don't have anything written in.
They're eligible once every 6 months, not to exceed, I think, $20,000 in a four-year time period or something like that.
Okay.
Well, one of the eligible improvements was listed improvement two or addition of entrances, doors, and display windows. It is obviously an entrance issue.
I'll tell you what, I'll accept the motion on the second.
I'll move to approve.
Okay, move to approve the facade grant of
5930.
Do I have a second? I'll second for purpose of discussion. Any discussion?
Well, I don't see that it falls under any of the non-eligible improvements.
So when they, Trevor, when they add this 30 by 30 structure, is there going to be a fence around it? Because they'll be serving alcohol, doesn't it have to be fenced or something like that?
Debbie, is that correct?
Were they going to serve alcohol out there? They have the patio, the raised patio porch, whatever you want to call it, where they do, but...
Right, but if they have tables down on the patio, which you said they were going to... I know there was also an issue with the fire department and access. Isn't that why they were looking at doing that initially? I don't know. Yeah, but if they... You don't know if they intend to fence that?
I don't know, no. I'm not sure.
I thought we had an ordinance that required if you were going to serve alcohol, it had to be a fenced off area. And that was part of that discussion we were talking about. I could be wrong.
I don't know if that's in the ordinance. I thought that was a board decision, but I could may be wrong.
Okay.
Well, in the one that comes to mind would be the pub and pallet. They're not fenced in, and we approve that. And they do.
That is true.
They do serve adult beverages out there.
True. Okay, any other discussion?
My other concern has to do with the three estimates. We are clear on that, and even if we made an exception to go down to two, we're still going outside the requirements, but that still gives us more than one for a point of comparison. I understand the time of the year, but if we're spending potentially more than $5,000 to support this, we should make sure that it is the right amount. It may be the perfect amount. It may be the lowest amount. We don't know. We don't have a point of reference.
Do we have any other requests right now for facade improvement grants?
No.
Okay. So this is an active business owner trying to improve her business in the village at the present. Something that we strongly encourage. Think we should do it?
From a facade perspective, if you're looking at the building from the trail, I could see with their deck, and then if you had a nice new patio out there with people sitting around cafe style, I think that would, if they dressed it up and didn't just have a slab, I would personally be interested to know what they want to do with it besides the slab. You know, if there's going to be decorative fencing or something, that would be a facade improvement, right? If you're adding to the architectural feel. From perspective of getting bids, if she's demonstrated, or at least in theory demonstrated, that she's reached out to multiple people. Do we know how many vendors she's reached out to?
17.
So she made the effort to go out and get the bids, and people are saying no. That is the low bid. One could argue, right? The one person may have jacked up the price because of that. So if we were concerned about that, yet we wanted to approve it, there's nothing to say we couldn't award them a lesser amount than the $5,930. True?
That's correct.
I don't have the knowledge personally to say that. Okay, any other discussion? I know it's something you'd like to be able to help with. It's up to.
Do we agree that the changing of the size of the gutters would be part of this? Or is that, I want to make sure I understand the motion.
Well, I would agree with you that probably isn't a legitimate use for a facade. So do we know what portion of that building, I'm sorry,
yeah, the concrete is $99.50.
$1,900 approximately.
Yeah, $1,910 for the gutters, I think. Am I reading that right?
So half of $99.50 is?
$1,000, give or take.
Pardon?
$49.75.
And those were the two items included in the request, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I would agree with Trustee Harris on that, that that's more an operational than a facade improvement. So, Trustee Genrich, you made a motion. Do you want to amend your motion?
I can amend that to cap the facade grant at $49.75 instead of $59.30. That will then cover the front entrance delete the gutters and downspouts.
And I would second that as well. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 9, appointment of a resident to fill Jim Genrich's spot on the joint on the village board, on the joint review board.
Is that Friday or anything? I just got here. Again.
Just kidding, Trustee Genrich. For our TIF districts, there is a joint finance, or non-joint finance, but a joint finance committee. And a joint review board. And the joint review board is responsible for overseeing our TIFs. And it consists of one representative from the school district, from the technical college, from the county, from the municipality, and one person from the public. I am the representative for the village on that. Trustee Genrich, prior to this election, was the resident member, and so we need to recommend to the joint review board another resident member for the joint review board. And the village staff is recommending that we recommend Mr. Jeff Irwin, resident of the village of Alloway. Jeff is a banker by trade. He's an active member of our community, and he's been a member of our Economic Development Committee since 2011. It's recommended that the person come from either a finance or economic development background. And if any of you know Jeff, he's a great asset to our community and has a great deal of enthusiasm for our community. So I would accept the motion on that, Trustee Dart.
I'll move to approve Jeff Irwin to that position.
Thank you. Seconded by Trustee Green. Any discussion?
Have we asked him if he's interested in the position, or does that happen after the fact?
We have asked.
Okay.
And he has answered in the affirmative. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, Mr. Irwin. Action item number 10, resolution 2017-26, opposing a proposal to create a new state enforcement office for alcohol licenses. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
I would move that we approve resolution 2017-26.
Second. Do you want to approve or do you want to oppose?
Well, I want to approve the resolution opposing the program, so.
Just want to make sure.
Second.
Second by Trustee.
Last thing we need is another regulatory office.
Any discussion? Hearing none.
I have a question. To me, it was very confusing about the three tiers. If we're, how do the breweries get away with it now by separating themselves from the three tiers? Aren't they being all three tiers?
Well, I do believe we have a representative here today as part of the manufacturing entity, but I believe there's an exception if you're selling under 5,000 barrels a year. You can have a tap room on site. Do you know, is that correct here? Sorry, if we have a spot.
Do we have to open it up?
Mm-hmm. Do I have a motion to suspend the rules? Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Dart. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Hello, Mr. Malcolm. Could you give us your name and address,
please? Sure. My name is David Malcolm. I live at 1442 Grignan, which is not an alley. Sorry.
Yeah,
not an alley yet. My understanding, I don't know the exact volume differentiation, but for, there's a couple ways that breweries cross the three-tier system in the state of Wisconsin. The Department of Revenue interprets the statute such that any brewery under a production level that I don't know off the top of my head can operate a tap room, which allows them to sell pints on premise. The majority of states have a similar interpretation of their federal and state laws, as well as under, I believe the cap is 10,000 barrels a year, breweries can self-distribute, so they can act as their own distributor in the locality. And that's generally up to the brewery. Most breweries pick a distributor because it's a lot of work to work in distribution. But that's the way that breweries sort of become all the tiers. I think part of the reason is that it's common, especially with wineries. They sell their wine for on-site consumption. So that interpretation is endangered by the proposal to the budget.
Thank you. And we checked with our state representative Stephen's office, and so far there is no sponsor of this proposal, but I guess it's come up in prior budget years at the very last minute trying to get something through. So Representative Stephen is watching for us.
Move to take the rules.
Thank you. Second by Trustee Green. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. So we have a motion to approve by Trustee Green. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 11, contract award for East River Trail Project. I have a motion on this item. Would we like to hear from Mr. Clark? Mr. Clark, would you fill us in, please?
Sure. I placed copies of the bid tab in each of your seats tonight. We did open bids today. For this project, which was approved in the fiscal year 2017 budget. We had two bids that came in for this project, one from MCC Incorporated and one from DeGroote. Low bid for the project, for the base bid, is $314,317.88, and that's by MCC. And for the alternate bid, which is a short section, which included on your map, if you can see that, it's the section just west of the baseball diamond here with the alternate section. And that came in at $23,829.35. With those two bids, as well as engineering costs, we are still under budget. Our budget was at $370,000, of which we did get grants from the Wisconsin DNR to offset half the cost of reimbursement grant trails grants. So the question to the board this evening is awarding of the bid to, does the board wish to award the bid to the low bidder, and does the board, excuse me, Ford, wish to include the alternate portion of that bid.
So, Chris, when you say we got a grant for half of that, is that half of the 337?
Half of 370.
370. So our engineering costs are about 30 grand? 35?
No, actually our engineering costs are about 20. So we had estimated the project at $370,000, and that's what we utilized for the grant application process.
Okay.
So,
but the total.
So yeah.
Proposal is about $357,000.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So, yeah.
And so the grant is some half of that.
Correct. You are correct.
So just for the benefit of our audience, that's Green Isle Park. Right? So from the trail, from the East River Trail into Green Isle, right?
Yes, we have in the upper right-hand corner, that's the bridge that goes across the river, so it would be the continuation all around the perimeter of the park, as well as some other short trail sections that would connect to the portion of the trail that was reconstructed in 2014, which runs from the bridge south all the way to the Wheezy Park at the southern end of the village boundary.
Is that going to be done in conjunction with the entrance?
We anticipate that. The contractor that was low bidder on this also is the contractor that is doing all the paving work within the village this summer. So we anticipate we will discuss that with them if they're awarded the contract. But we anticipate that they would want to do that work all together.
Okay. And does the other project include the parking lot?
Does not. No, the other project includes the intersection of Green and East River Drive, as well as the entryway up to this portion of where the trail crosses right there.
Okay.
So again, the majority of it is already approved and budgeted. We're looking at the $23,000 as the alternate bid addition.
It was all, yes, it's all been included.
Okay, so I will accept the motion regarding this item. Trustee Denner.
I would move that we award the contract to the lowest bidder and move forward with the project.
And I would second that.
Motion by Trustee Genrich to approve, seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion?
The only the alternate as well?
Correct, yes.
And are we looking at doing the parking lots and the park up to the gazebo?
In future years, that will be discussed during budget times.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you.
Excuse me, staying on this one for just a second. Chris, in terms of the five-year plan, is the parking lot in for 18 or 19 as a projection at this point? Do you know off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head, I do not.
Okay.
I believe the remainder of the roadway throughout the park might be first.
Okay.
Before the parking lot, but I'd have to double check.
Thank you.
Maybe MCC wants to give us a heck of a deal for this year. Free is always good. Okay, moving on to action item number 12, discussion action regarding application for DNR ready for use loan for 1649 and 1677 South Webster Avenue. Mr. Lang, would you fill us in, please?
Excuse me. This is we're working through the WEDC grant for the environmental cleanups at the Old Village Hall property. AECOM has been working on preparing the grant for us. Came across this grant from, it's not a grant, it's a 0% interest loan that is administered through the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And we would be eligible for this. It is no cost for us to have them complete it because basically the material that has been prepared for the WEDC grant would pretty much be the same for this grant as well. However, there would be a cost in the event we are awarded the loan and we so choose to accept the loan, then there would be some additional cost because of what the requirements of the loan have in it, such as the quality control, the public information. There's a variety of different things that an AECOM would be required to do on behalf of us because we wouldn't have the expertise to take care of those issues. So it's an opportunity. It doesn't cost us anything at this point. And again, it's deciding whether or not we want to accept the loan if we are awarded it. So.
And it's for the remediation of the property?
Correct. It's strictly for the remediation. What it would do is, per the WEDC grant, there is funding that would be required on behalf of the village, on behalf of the developer, in order to satisfy the 70% 70% is 33% more grant.
Correct.
So 67% of the total expenditures need to be covered, and this would help cover that gap without having to borrow from those funds.
Great. So, yes,
question. Under ineligible activities, the second one says cleanup of petroleum contamination. Doesn't that, wouldn't that oil plume be considered petroleum contamination?
In discussions with them, this is certainly eligible for, and I think that's a different animal that they're referring to.
Okay.
So, AECOM has been in contact with the DNR on this grant itself to get all clarifications and be very confident that we will qualify.
Further remediation of the oil plumes, so maybe it would apply to that.
Correct.
And the payback period, I mean, it's long, interest free, but we still have to pay it back.
Correct.
And how many years?
I think it's a 10-year.
Okay.
Thank you. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
To approve the
per staff memos.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Trustee Genrich. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 13, action regarding amendment to listing contract for tax parcels AL44, AL441, AL45, also known as 1649 1677 Southwestern Avenue, also known as the Old Village Hall. Do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve.
Trustee Harris, do I have a second? Trustee Dart, any discussion? This is pretty much renewing James Wheeler's contract, who has been working hard to help us move the property. We're getting close. And I personally think it makes sense. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 14, discussion on urban wildlife management. From our June 4th meeting, we're talking about deer eating our gardens.
I included in the board packet information that we have obtained from residents, communication. There's a couple of listings of resident communications over the last 5 years, individuals that have called in, and the locations of where they live, where they have had issues with urban wildlife, not just deer. There's also turkeys and other sorts of wildlife out there that could be of concern to village residents. This map depicts those locations just for the deer and the different colors, and it kind of got cut off here on the side, but in your packet it shows, you know, the different colors should correspond with the years, which I see that's also cut off. I apologize for that. But you can see the majority of the calls that we've received have been down in the southwestern portion of the community. This map was produced from the aerial survey that was done in 2014, correct? And shows the number of deer that they counted at that time in these locales throughout the village. Since that time, the state of Wisconsin has enacted Act 71, which allows private property owners to archery hunt deer on their private properties, as long as they abide by the rules of Act 71, which say that you have to be beyond 100 yards of an occupied building or have permission from someone that occupies that building. So a lot of communities have, it's state law, and a lot of communities have started to manage their deer populations by just utilizing that one tool. The village of Ashwaubenon, they changed their ordinances to lessen that restriction. They've gone down to 50 yards, and that's the only thing they've changed. And they have, for I believe it's been 2 years now, they have had that enacted, and which has helped in reducing their urban deer population to some extent. They don't know what the numbers are. They ask individuals to let them know when they harvest the deer in town, and typically they don't get responses. So they don't know how much, but they have seen a reduction in numbers. Speaking of numbers, another item that's in your packet is the deer car crash numbers from Brown County. These numbers here are the numbers from 2012 through 2016 just in the village of Alloway. And you can see that 14, 15, and 16, the numbers did increase significantly from previous numbers, which tends to tell you that, okay, deer numbers are up. If you look at the next two sheets, these are all communities within Brown County and the deer car crashes. And you see that Alloway is on the low end of all the other communities around Brown County. Now we have 10, but Bellevue has 42.
But they're much bigger than we are.
Correct. And also, some of these other communities have larger highway systems that run through them. And that's where you tend to get many of those deer car accidents. If you look at the number of car crashes in Alloy compared to other Brown County communities, were, you know, on the lower end, per se. So, next item in here, and this is a graph that just depicts times of the year that they see a lot of car crashes, and that coincides with the natural nature with deer. The month of May is a spike because that's when deer are dispersed, when the does kick out their yearlings. So there's deer running around a lot more. And then obviously in October, November is when the rut is the breeding period. So there's a lot of deer running around as well. So you'll see spikes in those times of the year, and people will see deer more often during those times of the year as well. The next couple of items are, I just wanted to give the board some information on our current ordinances. Since 2014, one ordinance that was enacted was a banning of feeding of wildlife, of deer in particular. And I don't believe that we really have seen many violations of that we can...
Unless someone calls in to report that they believe someone is feeding the deer, we don't have any records whatsoever.
As well as we do have ordinances on the books for against trapping and hunting or shooting weapons within the village, with the exception of Act 71, which allows archery, shooting of crossbows and bows on private property. So, let's see what else we have here. Here's the information on Act 71 for your review, if you had any question on that. And lastly, we did discuss this at committee meeting a few months back, in April, because we had received some calls, and I thought it would be prudent to bring it up for discussion again when we started the committee. And at that time, the committee, you know, felt that overall the numbers of issues in relation to the entire community weren't that great, and they thought that maybe some public education on many different aspects, whether it's landscaping for wildlife or, you know, getting the information out there about Act 71, different things like that, that the committee thought that that would be a good first step, and to try, you know, staff to produce information that can be dispersed via social media to our residents on our website and in various other methods. So that's some of the information that I had, and I wanted to get that to the board just so you're aware of some of the things that have taken place since that initial deer count back in 2014. And some of the other communities that have that were involved with that, City of DePere, they about the only thing they've done is they did a community survey, and since then they really haven't enacted anything. They haven't moved forward with anything. Village of Ashwaubenon, like I said, the only thing that they've changed was their distance requirements with regards to Act 71. They still do not allow hunting on public properties. Village of Bellevue, they, because they still have rural areas within the community, they allow hunting and legal hunting within other portions of their community, along with Act 71, archery hunting. So,
so if people in a neighborhood got together, I'm not suggesting anyone do this, but according to Act 71, the whole neighborhood got together and said, we will allow anyone to shoot a deer in this neighborhood, within this area, they could legally do that.
That is correct. During legal hunting times, you know, it would have to be during legal deer season, and then...
Oh, legal deer, so not any time.
Correct, no.
Okay.
It's during legal deer season. And then the people doing the hunting have to have legal licenses to partake.
And it's only bow and arrow.
Correct. Correct. Or crossbow. Yeah, archery thing.
You know if Ashwaubenon had any reports of accidents because of that?
From my knowledge, no. That I'm not aware of. At least none reported to their offices. Jason, do you know of anything that might have... Okay.
It's funny, 2 days after our last meeting when the lady came here and talked about it, I opened my front door at 5 o'clock in the morning, two deer sitting, eating my hostas.
Hosta salads?
Yeah, they're having hosta salad.
They're eating healthy.
I informed them they shouldn't do that. Thank you. Any other discussion at this point?
Are there any, you know, chemical, for lack of a better word, repellents, you know, like liquid fence for rabbits and things like that? Are there some products that you can use? Lynn, you maybe know some of that.
I've tried everything and nothing works.
Okay.
And now I have a baby. And
well, congratulations.
She's very cute, so I'm letting her eat anything she wants. And I have a trail cam even getting pictures of her, so I just, yeah, the whole thing's kind of a struggle with the urban deer. So, but yeah, nothing I've found works. You either have to plant plants they don't like. Problem with that is if it's a lean season, they'll still eat them anyway. They love hostas. You're just planting a smorgasbord there. So in my experience, they are eating about everything. So, and I've even tried some really nasty, heinous stuff, smelling that human, yeah, no.
Okay.
If somebody's got one, please let me know.
And it's my understanding that there's been discussions that if you thin out a herd, say here in Alloway, deer don't understand territorial restrictions, so we can't tell them to stay in DePere or Green Bay. They roam the river. And so...
Well, they go
if
where
there
they
was, want. Sorry?
Oh, they go where they want.
They go where they want. So probably to have an effective wildlife management system or deer program, you'd almost have to incorporate all of our surrounding communities up and down the river.
Correct. Correct. And I have been in conversations with neighboring communities, initial conversations, and it sounds like there is an interest in that.
Okay.
I think we'll progress with talking and you know, trying to all be on the same page at least.
And I'd like to know more about Ishwaubenon in how that is working, because if private property owners can, you know, we do have some properties that would possibly fit that. I mean, on the flip side, you guys, besides my baby, I mean, I've had so many bucks in my yard this fall fighting for, you got to see the gouges in my tree. I was texting Brad pictures and Chris pictures. So, I mean, the number of bucks can be an issue as well. I mean, I had three at one time buying for the does in my backyard, and it just, it's an interesting concept, so with no easy solution.
Okay, so you can find out about Ishwaubenon and how that works. Looks like we really don't have an issue until November, right?
Right.
But it's interesting when you hear someone bring that up and then all of a sudden you start seeing deer. But, any other discussion? Direction for staff? Just keep looking into it. I think it's a valid discussion. It seems as though the herd has grown since 2014. Okay, let's move on to agenda item number 15. Any future agenda items that people would like to see?
Based on the last topic, I would suggest in September putting some sort of dialogue regarding deer hunting and letting the general public know about 71, Wisconsin Statute 71, and maybe have a little discussion on it, see if there's an organized effort, if somebody wants to orchestrate it.
Okay, great.
And some education regarding what Ishwaubenon is doing, because if that's an option for our municipality that people can do on their private land, then and it's working, we can do that too.
Okay. Anything else? Trustee Genrich.
I know Quick Trip recently approached the village to change their signage on the convenience store from Quick Trip Express to Tobacco Outlet and Grocery. And I think that was approved by Kevin, our code person, whatever. I know there are feelings and discussions about that, saying, wait a minute, you know, we didn't approve a tobacco outlet and grocery store. We approved a convenience store and gas station. They seem to feel that that better describes their products or whatever, but it kind of flies in the face of all of the more healthy bike and pedestrian and trail and all those things that we promote to have tobacco outlet on their primary signage. I don't know that there's anything we can or want to do at this point, and maybe it's a moot point and people don't really care, but it might be a point of some discussion. And I don't know if they've moved forward with replacing them. I think they were approved. I don't know what anybody else feels about that, if we want to make that an item at some point or not.
Well, the sign has not been
erected.
No new signs have been erected. So
Ishwaubenon's Express does represent the new language.
I think City of Green Bay, the Shawano Avenue one, I think they've changed those signs.
Well, if you want us to put it on the next agenda, we can put it on as a potential or discussion.
Yeah, discussion. Yeah, let's put that on
and
there.
See if we want to do something. I know we received an email from one village resident. Thank you.
Perfect.
So we'll put that on July 18th. Anything else? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion on item number 16. Adjournment. Trustee Dart.
Adjourn.
Seconded by Trustee Atwood. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion passes. I thank you all very much for being here this evening. Don't forget to let Senator Coles know that we need his help. And please keep the Kopisch family in your prayers. Thank you.